Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 21 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Tes. In other words, more than halfway down from the top. If you skim down, you'll notice in our markings a diamond that appears around the name Rabbi Yossi. This will be our beginning point. But before we begin the actual Gemara text, we note on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the diamond represents Hesber Shitois Tanoim, an explanation of Tanaic opinions, namely Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Shehuva'u, they were brought bebraisa li'el samachesomet aleph. So it would be very convenient if you have access to daf samachesomet aleph. This, when we learned that in our previous shiur, we mentioned that their opinions will be explained in the Gemara itself, and we have arrived. And you will find after this Tanaic source another marking of a crown shape, and that highlights Umah Hevdel Bein Kol Echad VeEchad. What is the difference, the practical difference between the various opinions that were featured in that source on Daf Samach Chesomet Aleph? We will see what is the difference Bein Tanakam of Rabbi Yossi between the first opinion in that source and Rabbi Yossi, and Bein Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In general, we are, of course, continuing the topic we left off with last time, and that has to do with women that become disqualified from truma or from marrying into the kahuna as a result of experiencing intimacy with men that are as basically forbidden to her. So in our previous shiur, we saw the Tanaic source, and maybe we'll just read a couple lines back from Samach Ches Omen Aleph, a little more than halfway down. The Gemara there had said, Gufa ben teishashan v'yamechad, a boy that's 9 years old in a day, but if he happens to be a ger, amoni, umo'avi, mitzri, vedomi, kusi, nosin, cholul, umamzer, shebal, kainis, levi, of Israelis, paslua. So you have that whole list of people, and if they have relations with a woman that prior to that was acceptable to the kahuna, they will disqualify her, posluha. And in our previous year, we spoke at great length. We focused on that shita and what are the sources for that shita. For that shita means that opinion. And when we speak about disqualification, we speak about them becoming disqualified from eating truma or from being able to marry a kohen, all as a result of a forbidden type of, or said intimacy with a man to whom she is forbidden. And we should just mention, when we speak about forbidden, it's obvious that all cases of intimacy outside the context of marriage is something that is forbidden, but there are different levels of prohibition. And here we're talking about people that even if she would attempt to marry them in following the proper Jewish marriage procedure, it would be forbidden. These men are usur to her. Now, we have additional shitas we saw in that source, and here we're picking up with a quote from that source where our diamond appears here on Daf Samach Tes. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Kol Shezaro Posel, Posel. Anyone whose offspring is unfit to the kahuna, or unfit, we'll see, is forbidden. So then he might say puzzle, not just, we'll see that it involves being forbidden to marry them in general, not just kahuna mat related. So that kind of person will render a woman unfit in a case of intimacy. V'chol she'ein zaro posel, if their offspring are kosher, are not posel, then eino posel. So that man will not render a woman disqualified from kuna. My iko bein tanakamo the Rabbi Yossi. What is a point of difference between the tanakamo and Rabbi Yossi? If you look at things superficially, so when you see, for example, a mamzer. A mamzer, the child of a mamzer is also a mamzer. So his zera is posel. The offspring of a mamzer is forbidden to marry into the Jewish people. So he, the father, will posel. If he has relations, he has intimacy with a woman, that will render her unfit to the kuna. And the same would apply to the other examples too at first glance. So what's the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni Ve'edomi Sheni Iko Binayu. The Torah tells us that a person from Mitzrayim, an authentic Egyptian, or an authentic Edomite, that converts to Judaism, he cannot marry a Jewish girl. In fact, not only can he not marry a Jewish woman, but his son is a Mitzri Sheni, cannot marry a Jewish woman. Likewise with the Edomite. First generation, second generation are forbidden. The third generation of those people are allowed to marry a Jewish woman. So let us now continue with that in mind. Ushnehem lo lomdua elo mikoyin godol balmona. Both the Tanakamo and Rabbi Yossi use as their precedent the case of a Kohen Gadol with an Almona. Now we know that if a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, has relations with the Almona, so she will become disqualified from the Kahuna. Before that, she was merely a widow. She can marry a Kohen. If she's a Bas Kohen, she can eat Truma. But the intimacy with a Kohen Gadol will render her unfit. Tanakama Sofar. The Tanakama feels, or he holds, ma kohen gadol ba'almona shebi'osu ba'avera uposel, just like a kohen gadol with an almona, his intimacy with her is in sin, and he ruins her. Af hai nami posel, so too the mitzri vedomi sheni, there they are forbidden people to Jewish women. So a second generation Egyptian or Edomite convert, notice he's the son of an Egyptian that converted or of an Edomite that converted, they will posel, if they have intimacy with a Jewish woman, they too will render her unfit. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi had this interesting rule of Kol Shazaro Posel Posel. So when looking at the case of a Mitzri Sheni, will a Mitzri Sheni, upon intimacy with a kosher Jewish woman, will he disqualify her? No. Why not? So again, we go back to the Kohen Gadol case. Rabbi Yossi Sovar ke Kohen Gadol. We compare other cases to the Kohen Gadol Almona case. Ma Kohen Gadol shezar oi posul uposel. The Kohen Gadol that produces offspring with the Almona, those are called chalolim. They are unfit. They are disqualified from the kahuna. Certainly a son who was born from that union, from a kohen gadol with an almona, he is not considered a kohen. A girl that's born from that union, she cannot partake of truma. She's disqualified. So we say, just like in the case of kohen gadol with almona, that union produces offspring that is posel. So uposel, the Kohen Gadol, likewise ruins, disqualifies a woman through his intimacy. Afkol shezaro posul posel. So to all other cases have to pattern the Kohen Gadol, that their offspring are unacceptable, their offspring are posel, and the father, in turn, will disqualify a woman upon intimacy. Lafuki Mitzri Sheni, to the exclusion of that particular kind of person, a Mitzri Sheni, the Ein Zaroi Posel. The third generation Mitzri convert is allowed to marry into the rank and file Jewish people. So he's not pasul. Dichtiv bonim asher yuldu lohem dor shlishi yavoi lohem bekal Hashem. Their third generation can enter the Jewish people. Let us take a look at Rashi. Mitzri Sheni, on the second line under the Gemara text in the Rashi wide lines, Mitzri Sheni Pasul. He himself is Pasul Vizaro Kosher, but his offspring are kosher. L'tanakamo Kevan Dehu Pasul, since he himself is unfit, Posla Babio, he will render a woman with whom he has intimacy unfit to the Kahuna. L'Rabbi Yossi Lo Pasil, a Mitzri Sheni will not render a woman unfit because of the fact that his offspring are not considered unfit. To go over this last point, focusing in on Reb Yossi, the daughter of a Kohen Gadol with an Almona is a Chalola. She is forbidden to the Kahuna. The daughter of a Mitzri Sheni, it would appear from this Gemara that a girl born from a Mitzri Sheni would be muteris to marry a Kohen. Don't make a mistake, she herself is not a convert. Her grandfather was a convert. So that she's not considered a Gioris, but she's a third generation, and hence, as the Gemara says, it's not a case of Zera Posel. The Gemara continues. Reb Shimon Marmel, this is also a quote from Sama Chesomet Aleph. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Shatanoise Bito, Atanoise Almanosoi. Any type of person that you can marry his daughter, so you can marry his widow. The widow was not disqualified because of her marriage with that man. So now we have to analyze. That's a bit obscure, so let's make it more concrete. My Iko Bain, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. What is the difference between these two opinions? Omar Ula, Ger Amoni Umo'ovi Iko Binayu. A person from Amon Umo'ov who converted to Judaism. Now, he converts to Judaism, but he is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish person. What do we know about the Ger Amoni Umo'ovi? We know that he is Pasul. However, a girl born from the Ger Amoni, she is kosher. So, that point in mind, you can see how Reb Shimon Liel has a unique viewpoint. Ushneim lo lomdua elo mikohen gadol ba'almona. Once again, Reb Yossi and here in this case Reb Shimon Liel use as their model the case of kohen gadol with an almona. Reb Yossi savar ma kohen gadol ba'almona shezaro posul uposel. Just like in the case of the kohen gadol with an almona, the child born from that union, as we said before, if a daughter is born from that union, so she is unfit to marry a Kohen. The Kohen Gadol, we also know, he passels the Almona. He renders her unfit to matters of Kahuna. So to Afkol, Shezaro, Pasul, Posel. So to any other case where the offspring is unfit, their intimacy will render the woman with whom they had that also unfit. There is a Rashi, four lines from the bottom, Ger Amoni, Hu Uvno Uben Beno, Ad Sofo Olam Psulim, Avol, Bitok Shera, the Kaimalon Amoni Velo Amonis. Rashi continues, the Reb Yossi, the Toli Taimo, Bechol Zaro Apostle. Reb Yossi says that when does someone create a problem? When all of his Zara is Apostle. Hoyol V'yesh. Let's say that again more accurately. Reb Yossi's Toli Taimo Bechol. Kol means any case. Shezaro Apostle. Whenever there's a case of Zaro Apostle, so it means the offspring of that man is unfit, so the father, the man, will cause the woman to be disqualified. Hail v'yesh bizarro pasul posel. Since in the case of the Ger Amoni, some of his offspring are pasul, for example, his sons. So the Ger Amoni, if he has intimacy with a Jewish woman, he will disqualify her from Kayin-related matters. That's Reb Yossi. Let's continue back in the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, Ma Kayin Golo Bal Mono Shekol Zaroi Posel. Now, Kol Zaro means that it's Bonim and Bonos. All of them are Posel. That means a Kohen Gadol that impregnates an almona, regardless of the gender of child, whether it's a male or a female, they are disqualified from the kahuna. And therefore, and also we know about the Kohen Gadol, not only are all of his children disqualified, but he disqualifies through his intimacy. So too, we pattern the other kind of men that will render a woman unfit, af shekol zaro posel. So to any other case where all of their offspring are unfit, he, in turn, the father, will render a woman through intimacy unfit. La fuke amoini umovi, to the exclusion of a male Ammonite or Moabite that converts to Judaism, de'ein kol zaro posel. We cannot say that all of his offspring are unfit. Yomamar, amoni velo amonis, moavi velo moavis. The Torah, in presenting the case of the Moabite and Ammonite people, it presents it in the masculine form. And Chazal knew, in this case we infer, who is unfit? The male version, the male Ammonite and Moabite. However, the female of those people is acceptable to the Jewish people. So let us say you have a male Ammonite that converts to Judaism, and he in turn has a daughter. That daughter is not considered psula. She is, as we saw in the Gemara, Moshe said, Moavi velo Moavis, Amonis, Amoni velo Amonis. So that according to Rav Shimon Leo, a Ger Amoni that has intimacy with a Jewish woman, that will not disqualify her from the kahuna, because the case of the Ger Amoni is not parallel to the halachas of Kohen Gadol and Almona. Once again, I know it sounds a bit repetitive, but the Kohen Gadol Almona case is the archetype for figuring out all other cases where intimacy will render a woman unfit, just like we know that the Kohen Gadol renders the Almona through his intimacy unfit. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei. Bias, Oines, Mefate, Veshoite, Mahu, Lifsoil, Oi, Lahachil, Betruma. A intimacy through rape, through seduction, or a Shoite. Shoite is an imbecile, someone who has no das. Does that create psul? And does that, in other words, that does that disqualify for marrying the kahuna? Or what about truma eating? What about that? So we see now the Mishnah. Ha'oines v'mefate v'ashoite. Loi poislin v'lo machilin. When we speak about a shoite, Rashi adds, even if there's a formal marriage that takes place, but their kinyan, their acquisition, their clinching connections is of no halachic significance, has no halachic validity. So these cases of intimacy through oines or seduction or the shoite loy poislin, that will not render a woman unfit, velo machilin, and also it will not entitle a woman to eat of truma. If you're dealing with men who were not fit to marry into the Jewish people, hare elu poislin, then the women will become unfit not because it was a rape, but because it was intimacy with a forbidden type man. Ketzad, Hare Yisrael Shebo al Bas Kain. Imagine a regular Jew with a pure pedigree. He has intimacy through a rape or seduction without marriage intention with a Bas Kain, with a daughter of a Kain. Well, that doesn't ruin her. That doesn't disqualify her. Therefore, Toichal B'Truma, she can continue eating from Truma. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ibra, if she becomes pregnant, Loi Toichal B'Truma. Now, Rashi points out at the top, Ibra Loi Toichal, Kidafinu Liyeh, we learned earlier, Ubar Posel, a pregnancy stops a woman, a Bas Kohen, from eating Truma. Dichtiv Kinurea, the Pusik describes a woman who goes back to her father's house. She is if she is as she was when she was a young girl, in other words, not pregnant. Prat Limuberis. So in the state of pregnancy, she you have a even though again she's a Bas Kohen, but the one that impregnated her was a Yisrael, so she does not partake of Truma. Nechtach ha'ubar b'me'ah, if the child was, let's say, aborted, it literally was cut up inside of her womb, tochal, she can eat from the Truma. Rashi adds, not only that case, but even if she actually miscarried the child and came out but dead. We continue. Hare Kohen, Shebo al-Bas Yisrael, a Kohen rapes or seduces a Bas Yisrael, Loi Toichal B'Truma. She does not get the rights to eat Truma simply because she's not married to the Kohen. He just had intimacy with her outside the realm of marriage. Ibra Loi Toichal. Here you have a Bas Yisrael who is carrying now the fetus. She was impregnated by a Kohen. However, she does not eat from Truma because the Ubar is not capable of granting Truma eating rights to its mother. This happens only when it is born. Yolda Toichal. If she bears the child, now she's a Bas Yisrael, she's not from a Kohen family, but she bore a child from a Kohen. So that gives her a right to eat Truma. Nimtza Kecho Shel Ben Godol Mishel Av. So we see here that the child has more strength in granting the mother Truma rights than the father. The father, through the intimacy, through the act of impregnation, does not enable her to eat from Truma. He didn't marry her L'shem Kiddushin for the purpose of marriage. It's not a kinyan. The Pasuk speaks about a kohen ki yikne kinyan ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspa, when a kohen acquires through the formal means of acquisition, that then he grants the other person the right to eat Truma. But here he just had a fling with her. So the bia, though it caused impregnation, that does not entitle her to eat from Truma. However, the child that she bears from that does enable her to eat from Truma. Hence the Mishnah's comment that the strength of the son is greater than the strength of the father. Ho'eved, now we have diamonds that appear on the side of the under the Mivneh heading. We noted that Eved, Mamzer, Kohen Gadol, these are Mikrim Shonim, different cases, Vashpa'osam al Achilas Truma, and their effect regarding Truma consumption. Ho'eved Poisel Mishum Bia, V'eino Poisel Mishum Zera. The slave that has intimacy with a Jewish woman, so he will disqualify her from Truma because of the intimacy, but not as a result of children that he may have, let's say, impregnated her with. Ketzad. The Mishnah spells out the cases. Bas Yisrael l'kayin, Bas Kayin Yisrael, v'yolda heimenu ben. Here is the case when the Mishnah spoke about the Eved is posel mishum bia, but not posel mishum zera. Here you have the case. We're going back a couple generations where Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, or a Bas Kohen marries Yisrael, V'yolda Heimenu Ben. And now a child is one called a second generation. V'olacha Ben V'nichbash Al Hashivcha. The word Nichbash is in this context, it's a derogatory term, but it's an act of their intimacy. Nichbash literally is where one presses down on the other. So the son of a kosher marriage went and had relations with a shivcha. V'yolda heimenu ben, and as a result of that union, a child was born. This is a grandchild in this particular story. Hareze eved. The mother was a bondmaid. The child is a slave. So now we have a grandchild born. Haisa aim aviv bas Yisrael kayin. If the mother of his father was a bas Yisrael that married a kayin, loy toichal betruma, she won't be able to eat from truma because of his identity as a slave. A slave is not considered the descendant of the kayin. The grandparents of this Eved, in other words, the father's parents, was a Bas Yisrael to a Kayin. If there was no Shivcha involved here, the grandchild, even if he's not a Kayin, but he would enable his grandmother to eat from Truma because the grandchild is the descendant of her husband, a Kayin. But here we don't describe the Eved that's born from this relationship. We don't describe that as a grandchild of the Kohen. We saw in previous Gemara that the Zera of an Eved is considered like the Zera of a Chamor, like the Zera of an animal. And in animals, we don't have associations between parents and children. Bas Kohen Yisrael, if the grandparents of this slave, of this Eved, was a case of a Bas Kohen that married a Yisrael, Toichal Betruma, the grandmother is allowed to eat from the Truma of her father's house. And we didn't point out, but we should have pointed out earlier, that in this three-generational model, the middle generation, the Ben that married the Shivcha, that Ben died. So that the Bas Kohen, the Yisrael, that she had a son that was Yisrael, but he's dead. What is left? A grandson that's a slave? That's not considered her seed. It's not considered her descendant from her husband, the Yisrael. Because that grandson is an Eved, and an Eved is not associated back generationally. So, as a result, you have a case of a Bas Kohen that she is not disqualified from the truma of her father's house because she is not a woman that has descendants from a Yisrael. Mamzer posel umachil. The mamzer is capable of rendering unfit and capable of granting truma rights. Ketzad. So again, we construct the case. Bas Yisrael lekayin ubas kayin Yisrael. We have a couple, kosher couple. One's a Yisrael, one's a Bas, as a Kohen. V'yolda heimenu Bas, and a daughter was born. V'holcha habas v'niseis levet olevet kechavim. And that daughter of the kosher marriage went ahead and married a slave or a Gentile. V'yolda heimenu ben. Harei ze mamzer. This Mishnah takes the point of view that a Jewish woman that cohabits with either a slave or a Gentile, the child is classified as a mamzer. That is a point that you will find different opinions on that matter, but that's the position our Mishnah takes. So we have a grandchild, it's a mamzer. Now we go back and look at the grandmother. we mentioned there were two possibilities. We had them labeled as Aleph and Beis. Now the Mishnah goes over them. If his grandmother was a Bas Yisrael who had married a Kohen, we describe this grandmother as having seed, descendants from her husband, the Kohen. And as we've mentioned in the past, a Bas Yisrael, if she has seed from a Kohen, that entitles her to eat truma, even though her husband, the Kohen, is dead. And even though her daughter, the that she produced from the Kohen, is dead. Nevertheless, the mamzer entitles the grandmother to eat from truma, because a mamzer, in contrast to an evet, a mamzer is considered your descendant. Bas Kohen Yisrael, if the grandmother was a Bas Kohen that had married Yisrael, and we know that a Bas Kohen, even though as in her father's house she was eating from truma, but when she marries a Yisrael and produces children from the Yisrael, even if the husband is dead, upon marriage to Yisrael, she stops eating truma. And even if the husband dies, but she has children or descendants from that union, she is also prevented from eating truma. So that's what we see here. Loi toicha b'truma. This grandmother, Bas Kohen, cannot go back to her father's house to eat from truma, because the mamzer is considered her descendant. Kohen Gadol, Pomim Shu Poisel. A Kohen Gadol sometimes could render someone unfit. Ketzad, what do we mean by that? So we have a case, and we have a little chart that accompanies this piece of Gemara as well, on the side of the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, Bas Kohen Yisrael. We have the daughter of a Kohen that marries a Yisrael, Violda Heimenu Bas. And this Bas Kohen has a daughter. V'holcha Habas, the Bas whose status is a Yisraelis, and she went V'niseis L'Kohen. She married a Kohen, V'yolda Heimenu Ben, and they produced a Kohen. So we have a third generation who is a Kohen. Now, he might be appointed one day to be a Kohen Gadol. Hareze Roy Leos, Kohen Gadol, Omeid U'Meshamesh Agambi Mizbeach. Here you have a Kohen Gadol, a child right now that has the potential of being a Kohen Gadol. Let's just imagine that he becomes a Kohen Gadol. Machil Es Imoi, he entitles his mother. Now, who was his mother? His mother was a Bas Yisrael that married a Kohen. So this child entitles the mother to eat from Truma, Upoisel Ein Imo. And it renders the grandmother, who was that grandmother? She was a Bas Kohen, but she married Yisrael. So this Kohen Gadol grandson of the Bas Kohen is her descendant, but through whom? A descendant through her husband, a Yisrael. So the grandmother, you might say, ironically, she was a Bas Kohen, and the grandson is a Kohen Gadol that prevents his grandmother from eating truma. Zois oimeres lo kibini Kohen Gadol shu poslani min hatruma. She says, not like my son, a Kohen Gadol, who renders me unfit from eating truma. That phrase is just a turn of speech. Rashi says, "Vezois ha'isha oimeres," the woman who becomes disqualified will say, "Lo kibini kohen gadol klomar lo yarbu kamosa." There shouldn't be more like him. So it would appear from this that really it's the grandmother that is saying, "Like woe unto me that I have a grandson who's a kohen gadol, and that very grandson prevents me from eating truma." The Gemara points out that our Mishnah supports information that's found in a Braisa. Tanina leha d'tanu rabbanan. We have in our Mishnah that which is taught in a Braisa. And often through the Shas you see this expression. The point of this expression is to show that such Braisas that find their support in Mishnayos, gain more authority and credibility, reliability. Because it's a Braisa that's founded upon information in a Mishnah. So what does this Braisa say? Shoyte v'koton shenosu noshim emesu. an imbecile, which was mentioned in our Mishnah, when a minor that marry women and they die, nishosem p'turos min achalitzim ne'ibum. If these individuals leave brothers that are normal, the widows nevertheless are exempt from chalitza and from yibum. And that the reason for that is that the shaitan katan have no kinyan capacity. And that is what we saw in the Mishnah as well, that a shaita that is bo al bas Yisrael, so it doesn't cause any disqualification. The Gemara continues. Ketzat Hare Yisrael Shebo Al Bas Kayin, a Yisrael without Kiddushin, he just has intimacy with a Bas Kayin. Toichal B'Truma, the fact that he has intimacy with her doesn't disqualify her from eating Truma from her father's house. Ibra Loi Toichal. If she becomes pregnant, so she is not to eat the Truma. The Gemara raises a question, and we should point out before we go any further, we have a topic heading on the side as well as a structural note that follows. The topic heading reads as follows: B'bias oines, a intimacy through a rape, in bo Yisrael al bas kain. B'bia greida eino nifselis mitrumas beis avia, through the mere act of intimacy, she is not disqualified from her father's truma. Avalim horasa ibra, if she is impregnated, loy toichal, she does not eat. Loma loy amrinan, why is it that we don't say the achar bio atzma loy toichal mipnei hachashash leheroyon, because of the suspicion that she might have been impregnated? So just to go over this point again, if it's established that a fetus, that a pregnant woman shall not eat from truma, the vlad, vlad here prevents her from eating truma. Why then, after the actual act of intimacy itself, do we not say maybe she's been impregnated? We should just mention the source for that was the Gzeres HaKosev that says kinu reha, that a woman after being with a man, if she is kinu reha, she's like she was in as a youth, meaning not pregnant, she goes back to eating from her father's truma. But when she is pregnant, she doesn't meet the standards of the pasuk that said kinu reha. So now the Gemara says what we already spoke out. Kevon the ibra loy toichal. Since we know that if she becomes pregnant, she is not allowed to eat. The fetus prevents her from eating of truma. Lechu shemo ibra. Why not go further than what we saw in the Mishnah and say that even after the initial act of intimacy, maybe she was impregnated through that? Milo Tnan, do we not have a precedent for considering as possible cases for suspicion? We have a source, and this source is referring to a case where women got mixed up at the time they married. Mafrishin Oison Gimel Chadoshim, we separate the women, there are two women married two men, and they got mixed up. So we have to separate the couples we keep the women away from the men for 3 months. Shema mu'uborois hein, because of the suspicion that there might be pregnancy. So what do we see from here? When we have to establish whether the woman is pregnant in order to establish the fatherhood. If the women were impregnated, so then the child would be a mamzer. So we want to be able to distinguish between a child that is considered kosher versus a child that's considered a mamzer. So we keep them apart. Shema mubaros hem. Now we dashed underline the word shema, which means maybe they were impregnated. So what do we see? We see that through one act of intimacy, we already take into consideration maybe she was impregnated. The Gemara responds, and this marking scheme of the triangles with the triangle point facing up, they represent kushios, and the inverted triangle represents tshuvos, responses. So we have a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take style of the Gemara. So the Gemara responds, Omar Rabo bar Ravuna liyuchasin choshishu l'truma lo choshishu. When it comes to matters of pedigree, so we exercise caution and concern. That is characteristic of the case where the married women got mixed up with their husbands. However, for truma eating purposes, we don't consider that possibility. So as long as we don't know her to be pregnant, we allow the Bas Kohen to continue eating truma from her father's house. Question, Ula truma lo chashishu, is that really so? That regarding matters of eating of truma, they don't exercise caution and suspicion? Bahat Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source, Hareze Gitech, Shoh Achas Kedem Misasi. A man presents a divorce document and stipulates that I want this get to take effect one moment, Shoh Achas, an hour before, a moment before he dies. So that as long as he's alive, if he's alive for the next 20 years, so she's still fully married to him. When does the divorce kick in? When does it take effect? An hour before he dies. Asura lechol betruma miyad. She becomes prohibited immediately from eating of truma. Why? Because we're choshesh. We suspect that he might die within the hour. At any given point, a person might die, and the hour before that is already a time when she would be prevented from eating truma. We didn't spell out, but we shouldn't rely on the obvious. When we're talking about a couple, a woman that was married to a kohen, and only because she was married to the kohen was she able to eat truma. If he divorces her, so she cannot eat from truma. Well, when does the divorce take place? It takes place an hour before he dies. When is that? Well, we don't know. And as a result of that, we are choshesh. We exercise suspicion and restraint and caution, and we say she has to stop eating truma immediately. So we see that in the realm of truma, we are also cautious and suspicious. Elo, well, if that's the case, then why, if a Yisrael rapes a Bas Kohen, why is she able to continue eating from truma? Maybe she was impregnated. Ela Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna. It's true regarding truma, we would be choshesh. Benisuin choshishu. When you're dealing with a married couple, as was the source that we read just before, Hareze Gitel Shachas Kohen Misasi, there was a case of a married couple. So in married couples, we're choshesh. We're choshesh. And we should point out also regarding in the case of married couples, so there were choshesh. However, biznus lo choshishu. In the case of znus, frivolous acts of intimacy, there we're not concerned. Why is that? So in the case of znus, a woman does not want to become pregnant from an act of wanton, of frivolous intimacy, and therefore immediately upon after the act itself of intimacy, the woman will flip around. She'll turn her body around in a rapid fashion so as to prevent the male seed from impregnating her. In the case of married couples, so that obviously doesn't take place. The Rashi explains, benisuin, if Rashi, what we're looking at is on the first of the widest lines under the Gemara text. We had that case before of the couples that got switched around at the time of their initial intimacy. We kept them apart for 3 months because of the possibility that maybe she became impregnated. Because at the time of their initial intimacy, there was no flipping around. They wanted to become pregnant. It's they're married. They're now married. But in the case of znus, avol beznus lo choshesu kidekaimalon, as we know elsewhere, we learned earlier in this mesichta, isha mezana misapeches, a woman who's involved with a znus relationship, an extramarital or a frivolous fling type relationship, misapeches, she will flip around kidesh lo tisaber, so as to ensure that she does not become pregnant. Hilkoch leklosafek. Therefore, after the first, the initial act of intimacy at the time of a rape, we're not choshesh that maybe she became pregnant. We continue in the Gemara. Question: Ubenisuin mi choshesu? And in the case of marriage, do we in fact take that into consideration? Do we worry? Do we suspect pregnancy? Vatanya bas kayin shenises liyisrael umes. The daughter of a Kohen that married a Yisrael, and the husband died that very day. Toiveles v'echeles b'truma la'erev. She immerses herself in a mikveh because she became tmeah, the spaskim became tmeah because of their act of intimacy. On the very same day that they got married and had intimacy, the husband died. So she immerses herself v'echeles b'truma la'erev, and she immediately goes back to eating truma. And we're not choshesh that she is pregnant, carrying a fetus, carrying a pregnancy in her. So we see from here that even in the realm of nisuin, in the realm of marriages, we don't suspect pregnancy. Omar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda explains that in principle we do suspect pregnancy. However, up till 40 days, the first 40 days of, we'll say, if there was actual conception, the first 40 days, the child is not, is considered maya bialma. It's not an entity that's considered of significance enough to restrict her from truma. So, toiveles ve'cheles ad arboim. De'i lo ma'abra, lo ma'abra. If she's not pregnant, so she's not pregnant. She didn't conceive at all. De'i ma'abra, if there was conception, and she's pregnant, ad arboim, for the first 40 days, mayo be'almo hi. The fetus is considered mere water, and therefore it's not considered an ubar that is posel. It's not considered the fetus that we described before as something that would render a woman unfit or disqualify her from her father's truma. Omar le Abaye, ihachi ema seifa. So Abaye raises a question by saying, state the seifa. Hukar ubro b'me'ah te'miku keles l'mafreya. When the woman is recognized as being pregnant, so it ruins her retroactively. Now we dash underline the word l'mafreya. That retroactively would sound like all the way back. When you just got finished saying that for the first 40 days of pregnancy, the vlad is insignificant, it doesn't ruin. But according to this, it does ruin. The Gemara says, "My mukukelis." What does that mean, mukukelis? What does mukukelis mean in this source? Ad arboim. In other words, if we say the vlad becomes recognizable after 90 days, 3 months. So for the last, we will say for 90 days. We'll say for the last 50 days, she's considered mukukelis, and if she's a bas kohen to Yisrael, so she will. We know that any truma that she ate would have been unfounded. She should not have eaten any truma, and there might very well be questions of in terms of compensation and paying for what she did. But that's true up till the initial 40 days. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Habo al arusoso beveis chomiv. Ma Din Havlad. The term Arusoso, Aruso, we've mentioned many times. This is the first of two stages in consummating a Jewish marriage. The first stage is where the man gives the woman money as one of the possible ways, and that makes her an Arusa, and it's called Kiddushin. However, the husband and wife are not living together yet. There's a certain gap in time, and eventually they have chuppah, they go under a marriage canopy, and that consummates the marriage, which is accompanied with intimacy. But in the meantime, when she is an Arusa, she's still living in her father's house. Now, our Gemara describes a case of an Orus having intimacy with the Arusa in her father's house. What is the status of the child? Now, the main point we didn't mention. We're dealing with an Arusa that is Chashuda, that she is suspect of leading, we'll say, a loose moral life. Now, the Gemara. Itmar habo al Arusasa beveis chomiv. Rav Omar Havlad Mamzer. Rav says that the child is illegitimate, and Rashi adds, very importantly, even if both the man and woman agree that he, the man, the Orus, the husband, had relations with her. So Rashi says, Havlad Mamzer, we're looking at Rashi in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara text. Afalpi Shishneim Moidim Shebo Leho, even though they both admit that they had intimacy together. Chayshinon, we are suspect. Hayil Uprutsahi, since she is loose, she's unbridled. Achir Nami Bo Leho, the Abra Minei, someone else may very well have had relations with her, and she's pregnant from him. Now, an Arusa is, halachically speaking, a married woman, and any intimacy that a married woman has with us will produce offspring that is that are mamzerim. We continue in the Gemara, Ushmuel Omar Havlad Shtuki. And we should also point out, structurally, we have two Lushonos. They're accompanied in our Gemara markings with Roman numerals 1, and the second line from the bottom, a Roman numeral number 2 will appear. We therefore continue with Shmuel's opinion, who said the Vlad is a Shtuki. Now Shtuki, Rashi says, Sofek Mamzer. It's a Mamzer, but doubtful Mamzer. The Homisafkalon, we're in doubt. Ime Orus Hu, the kosher is the child, a pregnancy as a result of the Orus, the husband. E Miinish Achrinahu, or from some outsider. Hilkoch Mamzer Sofek Hu. So now we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rova, Mistabro Milsei Derav. Rav's ruling that the child is a mamzer, the daimo me'almo, avolo daimo, let's read that again, the daimo me'almo. Rashi, mistabra milsei de rav de mashvile mamzer vadai, the daimo me'almo. What does that word daimo mean? Shechashuda me'achirim. She is suspect of being with others. De leko le'achshuri kishar b'nei dumo shem ksherim. In general, when you have children that are from mothers that are suspect, and we say the children are ksherim, dosam kevon dinesua hi, since in those cases she already consummated her marriage with her husband, we have a rule, rod bilos halocha harabal. The majority of intimacy of a woman would be with her husband. But here we're dealing with a worse case. We're dealing with a woman who is who hasn't had chuppah yet. She hasn't consummated her marriage with the Orus. So therefore, we don't treat this case of suspicion as leniently as we would the other cases of suspicion where you're dealing with a mother that had already fully consummated her marriage with the husband. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rava continues by saying, Avolo daimo me'almo, if there's no suspicion that she was with other men, basra dide shadina le, we would ascribe the child to him, to the Oros, and the child would be kosher. Omar Rava, Meno Aminola. Now we have a diamond that we use here to highlight the names Rava and later Abaye. So Rava says, Meno Aminola, from where do I know to say that? The distinction that Rava just made was when she is suspect of being with others, that's daimo me'alma, so then we can't, then we have to lean strictly. But where she doesn't have this suspicion of being with others, so then we are lenient, we'll machshir the child. So the Gemara continues with answering the question of how does Rava know that? Dikotani yolda tochal. The case of the Anusa or Mefuta, Bas Yisrael to a Kohen. So Kohen had raped a victim, or seduced a girl. And the Kohen, and then that woman was a Bas Yisrael, gave birth to a child. The woman who was a Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma. Hechi Domi, what are the circumstances? If you say that she's suspect of having relations with others, yolda mai tochal, if she has a child, why should she be allowed to eat truma? She's a Bas Yisrael, and whoever else impregnated her is not necessarily a kayin. Elolav, rather, mine daimo velo daimo me'almo. The Mishnah describes that she is suspect of having become pregnant from the rapist, but she is not suspect of having been with other men. And now we continue. Uma hosam. Mind you, in the case of oinus and mefata, the case of oinus is rape, mefata is seduction, delahai isura, ulahai isura, where to whomever, to the rapist, so she's forbidden, it's not a married couple, and to other men, she didn't marry other men, so she's also to all men. Basra dide shadinale. We nevertheless will ascribe the child to him, to the Kohen who raped her. And that's manifest by the Mishnah teaching Yolda Toichal. This is, in effect, a woman that bore the child of a Kohen. Hacha, in the case of Baal Arusaso, Dilahai Isura, to other men, she's forbidden. Ulahai hetera, to the Orus himself, technically speaking, she's muteris. Lo kol shekein, all the more so, we should be able to ascribe the Vlad, the offspring, to the Orus, and he would be kosher. Omar le Abaye, the oilome maloch. Abaye disagrees with Rav, and he says, I will tell you in general, kol hecha, the daimo mine, afagav, the lo daimo me'almo. Omar Rav, Havlad Mamzer. Abaye disagrees with Rava's interpretation of Rav, saying that even if she is a suspect of being with him and not suspect of being with others, Rav would still declare the Vlad to be a Mamzer. The Vlad is the child. My Taimo. Why is that? Damrina, Mida Afkiro, Nafsha, Legabi Oros, from the fact that she was so. She had behaved frivolously with the Orus. So just like she was mafkir herself, she was frivolous with the Orus, afkaranaf shalama, she would do the same with other people as well. Umas Nisan, the Mishnah with the Anusa that gave birth, the case there is show you Shneim Chavushin Beves Asurim, the rapist and the woman, they were both incarcerated in a prison, in a jail, where there was absolutely no chance of an outsider of having relations with her, and therefore there's only the Kohen rapist there. Iko di Amri, another version, Bebo Oleho, where they admit that they had relations one with the other. Kule Alma lo pligi, everyone will agree the Basrei Didei Shadino Lei. Even Rav will agree that we ascribe the child to the Orus, and he's not a Mamzer. V'hochi Itmar. Now we have to set up a case where will then be, when will there, yes, be a Machloikas? The Rashi, by the way, at the bottom line says, where the Orus admits he had relations with her, so then we ascribe the child to the Orus. And it's a product of a husband and wife having produced a child. So how should we then set up the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? As follows. Arusa Sheibra. The language here is a little different. Now, in the words of the Gemara, you don't see everything that Rashi is adding. In the first Lashon, by the Roman numeral number 1, it mentioned Habo al Arusa Sebeves Chomiv. And there we inserted the information that both conceded. Here the language appears different. It's Arusa Sheibra and Arusa that became pregnant. Rav Omar Havlad Mamzer. Ushmul Omar Havlad Shtuki. Rashi at the bottom says Havlad Mamzer. Vadai Boser the Ruba the Almo Shadinon Le Ume Inish Achrino Havi. As far as Rav is concerned, it's clear that she was with an outsider, not the Orus. Shmuel says it's not clear, and therefore the Vlad is a shtuki. Shtuki is a Sufek Mamzer. What the difference between a real Mamzer and a Sufek Mamzer is, that is a legitimate question, but it's beyond the purview of our Gemara right now. Omar Rava, Mistavra Milsei the Rav, Rav's ruling that the child is a Mamzer, Delo Daimo Mine, Vedaimo Me'amo, where there isn't suspicion that she was with the Orus, but all there is that she's suspect of having been with other men. Aval daimo mine, aval gav de daimo me'amo basrei didei shadinon lei. But if there is room to, if there's suspicion that she was with her Orus, even if she's suspect of being with other men, we will ascribe the child to him, to the Orus, and the child be kosher. Now, it appears the Tosfos at the top adds another dimension to this line. Let's look at that together. Avol daimo mine, afal gav de daimo nami me'amo, basor didei, shadino le pirush daimo mine. The term daimo mine, at least in this context, means shebo aleha bevadai, where the Orus, it's not just a matter of suspicion, but the Orus is claiming that he definitely had relations with her. The daimo me'almo, what does daimo me'almo mean? Notice the imbalance here. It says hainu shame ra. It's a bad reputation, that's suspicion. So when it comes to daimo mine, Tosfos says he definitely had relations with her, the Orus and the Arusa, even though she has a bad reputation regarding other men as well. De'i daimo mine nami shemra bi'almo, if Tosfos maintains his position that if daimo mine meant it's only murmurings, suspicions of being with him, imkein mai maisi rova mi masnisin dosam bala vadai shemhofi baser didei shadinan. We see from the proof that Rava brings, he's bringing a proof from a case where the man definitely had relations, the case of the rape. He definitely had relations with her. So in order to maintain the balance, namely Rava's proof, which we'll see in another line, with the definition here at the top line, we have to say daimo mine means that she definitely had relations with the Orus, and Rava is telling us that even though she may have a bad reputation with regard to other people as well, we will ascribe the Vlad, the offspring, to him, to the Orus, and he would not, under those circumstances, so Rav would not say the child is a Mamzer. And we continue. Omar Rava, notice you'll see the similarity of style, and that's why we use these markings so that you can see that the diamonds appear again under, you have Rava and later Abaye. So Omar Rava, Mino Amino Law, from where do I know my point? Dikotoni, it says, in the case of an Anusa Bas Yisrael, a woman who is a Bas Yisrael, was raped by a Kohen. Yolda Tochal, if she eats, if she bears a child from that rape, so she's entitled to eat truma, even though she's a Bas Yisrael. She's entitled to eat truma because she bore the offspring, the seed of a Kohen. Hefi Domi, Ilemo de Daimo Mine Velo Daimo Me Almo. If there is, if the relations were with him and there's no, she doesn't have any reputation of being loose with other men, do I need to be told the obvious that she's allowed to eat truma? That's obvious. Elo lav, why is it obvious? Because she has the child of a Kohen, and the Torah tells us that when a woman, even though she's a Bas Yisrael, has the child of a Kohen, that entitles her to eat from truma. Elo lav, in order for the Mishnah to justify itself and tell us things that are beyond the obvious, you have to say the daimo nami me'almo, that we know she was raped, but she also has a reputation of being loose with other men. And we reason, Uma hosam, there in the case of the oinus, delahai isura ulahai isura, to the kohen that raped her, she was forbidden. She didn't marry him. And to outside men, she's forbidden. And yet, basre dide shadina le, we're willing to ascribe the child to the kohen who raped her by virtue, by witness of the fact that she is entitled to truma. Haha, where you, we're dealing with the orus that had relations with her. Haha de lahai isur lahai hetera lo kol shekain. Here, in the case of the orus, where she's muteris to him and forbidden to everyone else, certainly we will ascribe the vlad to him. Once again, Rava is telling us these are the circumstances are that it's daimo mine as well as daimo me'almo. Omar le Abaye, the oilum e moloch, kol hecho de daimo me'almo. Abaye is stricter and he says, wherever you have a situation of her being suspect of being with other men, afogab de daimo mine, even though she is, she has been with him, with the orus, Omar Rav Avlad Mamze, Rav would say his strict ruling that the child is illegitimate. Umasnisen, the Mishnah that spoke about her giving birth after the rape with the Kayin, and she's allowed to eat truma, bedelo daimo klal. She is not suspect at all. She's a fine, upright woman, not suspect at all of being with other men, so she is therefore entitled to eat from truma. The Rashi says on the fourth, third line from the Tabu, masnisim lo daimo klal, Mekami Hochi, before this, lav mine v'lav me'almo. She wasn't suspect of being with anybody, not the rapist and not anyone else. Hilkoch itzdruch lashminan, therefore it's important to tell us that toichal, that she's entitled to eating truma, yamrinon bahach bio nesav, we say, that this act of intimacy, the rape or the seduction that through which she became pregnant, again, from the Kohen. Ho'eved poisel mishum bio v'eino posel mishum zera. The a slave with a Jewish woman, the intimacy is that which renders the woman unfit, and it's not the fact that there may be offspring from the Eved. My time, well, why is it, and as the case of the offspring of the Eved, we saw that described in the Mishnah. So why is it that a descendant that's an Eved is not considered a disqualifying factor? Omar Kro, the Posuk in describing slaves says, Ha'isha v'yolodeh tiyeh ladoneha. This is dealing with the case of an Eved Ivri that marries a Shifcha Kenainis, and we saw that that described, we saw in a description along those lines in the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah described the a regular couple giving birth to a son, and the son went with the shivcha, so the pasuk says, well, if a Jewish fellow goes with the shivcha, the shivcha and her children belong to her master. They're not associated with you, so they're not, they're considered unrelated, and hence it's not considered your zera. Mamzer posel umachil, and that too we saw in the described in the Mishnah. Tonu Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "Vizera ein lo v'shava el beis aviha." A bas kohen that was married to a Yisrael, so during their marriage she could not eat truma if he dies, leaving no children, so she goes back to her father's house. Ein li ela zara. From this I see that only immediate children would prevent her from eating truma, children from the Yisrael. Again, we're dealing with a bas kohen that had married Yisrael. Zera zara minai. From where do I know that grandchildren that are descendants from her union with the Yisrael would also prevent her from eating truma? Talmud lomar v'zera ein lo mikol makom. When the pasuk says zera, means all kinds of all circumstances of zera, not only first generation, even second generation. I should say not only children but grandchildren. Ein li ela zera kosher. Zera posel minayin. From where do I know that the same applies to descendants that are not kosher? For example, a mamzer. Talmud lomar v'zera ein lo. The word ein is spelled aleph yud nun. The yud in that word, the word could have been spelled aleph nun ein lo, but it's there's a yud ayin alo. This tells me to look into her. Meaning, if you don't see children, but check out further, maybe they're grandchildren that are descendants through the Yisrael husband that she had. The Gemara asks, how can you say? Let's go over that last point again. The Gemara was asking Zera posel minayin, and the Gemara answered Zera ein law means ayena law. Check out, meaning all possibilities of Zera, whether it's kosher Zera or mamzer Zera. The Gemara asks Va'afikte lezera zara, but I already used the pasuk of Zera ein law for grandchildren. The Gemara says you don't really need the pasuk to serve as a source for grandchildren. Zera zara lo itzterich kra. I don't need this pasuk for that because we know from elsewhere b'nei bonim hare hein kebonim, that grandchildren are considered like children. He itzterich kra. For what do I need this pasuk of zera ein lo? Lezera posel, like a mamzer. Amar le Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan concerning our Mishnah that declared that an Eved, a slave or an idol worshipper or a Gentile that had relations with a Bas Yisrael, that the Vlad is a mamzer. That was described in our Mishnah, which said V'holcha Abbas V'niseis Le'evet Olo Yivin Kichovim V'yolda Himenu Ben Areza Mamzer. So we see our Mishnah taking a stance that an Eved or an Akum that has relations with Bas Yisrael, the child is a Mamzer. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Keman Rabbi Kiva, is our Mishnah the opinion of a solitary authority, that of Rabbi Kiva, Domer Yesh Mamzer Mechayve Lavin? According to Rabbi Kiva, this is an opinion we've seen many times till now, that relations that are forbidden to the tune of a negative command, a loisase, what we call lavin, that's the plural of the word lav, that relations that are also to the tune of a lav produce even something as minor as a lav, in contrast with the more severe prohibitions like kores and misas beisdin, even these kind of relations produce mamzerus. So what is the level of prohibition of a cohabitation, or let's say marriage to or cohabitation with a slave or a Gentile? It's not punishable by court execution, and it's also not chayav kores. It's a negative command that's being violated. Who says that that kind of relationship produces mamzerus? Well, that's Rabbi Akiva. So are we to say that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says, no, afilu temo rabbonon. Even according to the rabbonon, that in general, those kind of relations that are isurei lav, they're prohibited as simple negative commands, don't produce mamzerus. But even kechavim ve'avid modu, when it comes to these kind of relations, intermarriage type things, eved, slave, Jewish woman intimacy, the rabbonin will concede to Rabbi Kiva. D'chi also rabdimi om Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi mishum rabbeinu. It was said in the name of rabbeinu. Rabbi Rashi says that's Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Oyved Kechavim ve'eved Habal Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. Now, we've mentioned many times during our Gemara marking Shiurim that we do not claim to mention, to take a stand on applied halacha, on halacha lamaisa. But here it's important to note that this is a case that needs to be researched down to the final accepted halacha, because if we were to, let's say, stop at this point to say this is the halacha, you must realize that any Jewish woman that intermarried, and unfortunately is a massive national plague of intermarriage that afflicts our people, so all those children would be mamzerim, and that you can imagine the widespread ramifications of that, again, only assuming that this would be accepted as the final halacha. I can assure you that this is not the last word, and this is something that you would have to look into before coming to conclusions. But we must repeat time and time again how the Torah and Judaism has no room for intermarriage. The Jewish people are a separate people. We're not an exclusive people in the sense of excluding others from joining our ranks. People can join, can convert to Judaism, but in the non-converted state, so there is no room to accept intermarriage. Kohen Gadol Pomim Shepoisel Tonu Rabbanan, and that we saw in the Mishnah, how a grandmother who was a Bas Kohen, who had married Israel, and she has a grandson that's a Kohen Gadol, she will not be able to eat from her father's truma, because this is considered a descendant of her husband that they had together, that would be a seed from a Yisrael. Ton Rabbonon, Hareini Kaporas Ben Biti Kuzo Shemachileni Betruma V'eini Kaporas Ben Biti Kado Sheposlani Min Hatruma. This is a Tanaic source that's said in somewhat of a riddle fashion. So we'll go over some words first before we explain it. Kuzo and Kado. A Kuzo is a small measure, small vessel, small receptacle, relative to a kad, a significant type vessel. The kuza, in the analogy, the insignificant vessel is someone like a mamzer. The significant vessel is something like a kohen gadol. So we have seen in our Mishnah, and here you have a person saying, I am willing to be the atonement for my grandchild who is a mamzer, but at least he enables me to eat truma, and we saw described now how a mamzer, we saw this in our Mishnah, how a mamzer could in effect be ma'achil betruma, and that was a case of a grandmother that was a Bas Yisrael that married a kohen, and they produced a daughter, and the daughter married a goy, a Gentile, creating a grandson, a mamzer. But as far as the grandmother, Bas Yisrael, who had married a kohen, this is her seed through a kohen, and that mamzer enables her to eat truma. However, you can have a case of a grandmother that's a Bas Kohen that married Israel and had a grandson that's a kohen gadol, and he's the ben biti, that's the son of my daughter, who turns out to be a kohen gadol. He's a large, he's a kada, shepoislani min truma. He renders me unfit from truma, because I was a bas kohen, but I married Israel, and that kohen gadol is my descendant that came forth through my husband, who was a Israel. So it's seed from a Israel. Hence, the grandmother isn't going to be so quick to declare herself as a kapora, as an atonement for her grandson that prevents her, that passes her from eating truma. So that's what this riddle sounding source means when it says Hareini Kaporas Ben Biti Kuzo Shemacheleni Betruma. I'm willing to be the atonement for my grandson who's actually a mamzer that enables me to eat from truma. V'eini Kaporas Ben Biti, and I'm not going to serve as atonement for my grandson Kado, who's a large measure, who's a kohen gadol, Sheposlani Min HaTruma, that in effect prevented me from continuing to resuming the eating of truma of my father's house. As you can see, that concludes the seventh perek of Yevamos. But before we conclude our shiur, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.